You are listening to the Vorpal Chainsword Podcast, a podcast where I interview guests about D&D, miniatures, wargaming, comic books, movies, game conventions, and other nerd-related paraphernalia. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So welcome back to the Vorpal Chainsword Podcast. I have with me on the line the infamous MC Frontalot.
Infamous?
Well, I'm familiar with your early works, such as Crime Spree, so I know about your jaywalking and helmetless bike riding past.
The mildest infamy I've ever heard of.
So we are big fans of MC Frontalot, the Vorpal Chainsword, and we know you have a new album out, which is very different than your previous albums, Question Bedtime?
Question Bedtime. It is a bit different. It's there's nothing about computers or role-playing games or data encryption or cryptozoology or any of the usual suspects.
No, right.
All of those are absent. It's 100% fairy tales record.
And I noticed that the fairy tales can get kind of darker than normal fairy tales, but it's not. There's no cussing in the album either.
So no cussing.
It's appropriate for children.
Yeah, well, you know, for some values of the word children. It's definitely, I wanted to make something that, you know, responsible parents would not confiscate from children if children were interested in it. But it's not like, it's not really a kid's record. It's sort of in this strange liminal place.
Right.
It's too complicated maybe for very little children.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's also probably too complicated for most adults. It's really like the same level of complexity as all of my other records, or the lyrics on my other records. And so, you know, it would take a smart person, like a good little bit of mental effort to really parse any ones. Actually, that's not true. Some of the songs are simpler than than the other ones, but that's true on all the records. At its most complex, it is going to be too much for your little one. But maybe your little one will like it anyway because of the hook or something, or the little pictures in the lyric book.
Sure, sure, yeah. It does come with a nice lyric book, and there's a lot of good art on there. Now, this album, I noticed this about some of your albums as well, is that you have skits in there that kind of tie the whole album together.
A hip-hop tradition.
A hip-hop tradition, okay. Well, what I've noticed about albums with skits like that, I like them because it kind of ties together the whole album, so you want to listen to it from beginning to end like you used to do with CDs rather than just put things on shuffle. You know right. What I mean? Is that kind of how you feel about, you know, tying in skits that introduce the next song?
Well, certainly the skits make less sense outside of the playlist, but particularly in the case of this record. But it's just like a traditional hip-hop thing to throw skits in there somehow or other. It's also pretty traditional to have them be on the theme of the record and kind of tie the record together. So, you know, I'm glad I pulled that off for once.
Yeah, they're hilarious. And you have skits on your old albums, too. I mean, your previous albums as well.
Yeah, all of them except the first record have skits. I like the album format, too. The older I get, the more I like sitting and listening to a record instead of listening to some songs. Because records are things, you know, like they have a shape and a composition that's not just all the songs. It's the little tiny spaces in between the songs, and the order of the songs, I guess, is entirely what it is, other than just the songs. But it becomes this different thing. It becomes an album. I'm a little sad that I didn't... you know, that I'm not old enough to have made a record in the era of LPs when you actually had to compose two sides of the album independently from each other in order to have a really, really good piece of sequencing. I should say that this record is was sequenced by Nate Van Ill, my old co-producing partner on the records, who missed a turn on Solved. I had to sequence that one myself, but he's done all of the rest of my records, and he takes what I'm done with at the end of the, you know, making the record, which is just a bunch of songs, and then finds a way for that to become an album.
And I I noticed that, now you may have another album in the works at some point, because I know you're releasing videos for songs like Small Data. Is that going to be on an album in the future, or are you just doing singles?
I'm not sure what I'll do with Small Data. I wrote it at the request of the New Relic folks. As I did one for them last year, which was called Nerd Life. And neither of those are slated to be on a record at the moment, but who knows? Like, if I collect enough material, I could have one of those B-sides records that you always... that you always see at the back of the rack under one band's section.
Sure, sure. Are there any songs that, after writing them, you thought they were too, like, edgy or esoteric even to release?
That's a good question. I have, I guess I have started songs and not liked where they were going and kind of abandoned them. And then occasionally rhymes from those will find their way into something else that I write, which is really the nail in the coffin. Like, I can't ever let anyone see this half-written song now, because it's clear that I plagiarized something from it for another piece.
Sure.
but that doesn't happen very often. Usually, if I'm unhappy with something, I'll just do rewrites until it seems to fit with whatever I need it for.
Mm-hmm. So, since Nerdcore Rising and everything that's gone on over the last 10 years, I guess, that came out in 2005, I think, and your popularity's skyrocketed and kind of geek culture has skyrocketed, have you noticed this, like, renaissance of nerdy stuff in pop culture allows your music to reach a wider audience, or you notice any, like, impact in society when you just talk to strangers that they're kind of nerdier? Do you know what I mean?
I guess the fear of being perceived as nerdy has disappeared quite a bit. Certainly compared to when I was young, it was like this very shameful thing, you know. And then also, like, the mainstream entertainment industry has sort of embraced the identity and tried to craft its usual kind of, like, horrific garbage towards consumption by us, just, you know, based on identity. And, like, that's, you know, that's fine. It was nicer when that wasn't happening, I guess, like, when there was no Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It was a better world.
Yeah.
Mind you, you know, I can laugh at that show. I don't begrudge anybody for laughing at that show, but it is not at its heart a pro-nerd thing.
No. I actually have a horrendous story about Big Bang Theory, or at least the impact on me for Big Bang Theory.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. I'm a big Green Lantern fan. Mm-hmm. And I was at a work function where it was like a work vacation thing, and one of the higher-ups had a Green Lantern shirt on. So I went over to him to talk to him to say, oh, hey, who is your favorite Green Lantern? You Hal Jordan fan? You know, Kyle Rayner fan? And he looked at me just completely flabbergasted as to what I was talking about, and he said... And I said, oh, well, your shirt, it's a Green Lantern shirt. And he said, oh, my grandkids got this for me. They call me Sheldon. So it's like, it had no relation to Green. He didn't know who it was and what it was about. And so, unfortunately, one of my key identifiers for people I want to talk to in crowds, which are Green Lantern paraphernalia, is lost now because of
Now,
Green Theory.
Because Sheldon always wears one? Is that how it is?
Yeah, yeah. Sheldon on the show always wears a Green Lantern shirt.
To be fair, if his grandkids thought he looked like Green Lantern and put him in the shirt for that reason, he also would not have known what you were talking about.
That's true. I really shouldn't have expected him to know what I was talking about, I guess.
Well, in our culture, if you wear a t-shirt, you're expected to know what
right.
someone who walks up and wants to talk about your t-shirt is talking about.
Right.
But yeah, not in grandpa culture.
No. No. I thought maybe he was, you know, a fan from the Silver Age. He was very old.
Maybe he developed the character.
So now you have songs like Charisma Potion and Critical Hit. So I know that you used to play Dungeons & Dragons at one point.
Sure.
Or maybe still do occasionally.
I have not played a formal game of D&D since probably high school, and I haven't played regularly since maybe junior high. Like I have no idea what everyone was complaining about in the fourth edition rule set.
Right.
You know. but I remained immersed in the culture, and of course, like, the basics of pen and paper RPG.
Sure.
In my mind, all came from D&D. And, you know, those, of course, carry through to video gaming and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. How did you get... So you got into D&D in junior high? Like, how did it get introduced to you?
I got into it in maybe third grade. At the elementary school, my friends, Andre and Jonathan and Ben... and I would hang out on the, like, one of the play structures and do a sort of a free-form storytelling, like, cooperative storytelling with each other, and somebody would be, like, the storyteller, but the rest of us would say what the characters were saying and doing. And that was a lot like... I can't remember what we called it, but it was a lot like D&D, and then as we got older and smarter, we kind of... brought in the reading and the dice aspect and used, you know, basic D&D modules to play.
Sure.
I don't remember any older kids being like, you gotta do this thing, but that's probably what happened. I mean, that kind of knowledge was just sort of moved around from child to child.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know you go to PAX and other video game kind of centric conventions. Do you ever go to any... well, actually, can you go to conventions anymore without, as just like a civilian, or are you always recognized?
Oh, I'm only ever one hat away from having nobody really notice that I'm walking around. The bald pate figures so prominently in the branding.
Mm. So you can cover it with a hat, and then it, yeah, nice. So I've noticed that you occasionally, and I wanted to ask about this, you tweet about movies you're watching.
Sure.
As kind of a movie review thing of really bad movies.
Particularly when I'm drunk, it's fun to like talk shit. I like to do it on Google+.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter unthreaded things are not great for like having 200 entries on the same dumb topic.
Yeah. Yeah. But the so you did The Maze Runner recently, and, you know, I think it was just a few comments, but I know you did another movie before that, and they're pretty funny, and of course, I also like to watch bad movies or video-on-demand movies and kind of, you know, review them, and I just didn't know if you were going to think about, like, put those posts together into a single page, and then, you know, someone can say, and on the side of the homepage or something, and you could be, you know, the Maze Runner, and they click it and see your comments time with the movie or something like that.
Right. That's not a bad idea for a little web 2.0 site that somebody could probably inflate the value of and then sell without ever figuring out how to monetize. like just a sort of create your own text-based MST3K so that it has like a, you know, has a little pull down to pick where you're watching the movie from. You know, is this your Blu-ray copy? Is this your like VHS? Because they all have different like start times and edits. And then, you know, click the go button the same time you press play, and then your friends have like collaboratively, or just your like witty friend has put together shit talk about the movie that will pop up.
Yeah.
Along with, somebody should build that right now.
Yeah. So, like basically pop-up video, but for the internet age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Maybe it would be smart enough to just launch the Netflix window itself. I think Netflix has APIs. That would totally work.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Be fantastic.
And then you could, you know, and they could even tie it into when they, recommend this to your friends, and then it comes with a little, you know, timed tweet boxes that pop up when they watch it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, the social layer would be essential to overvaluing the company ahead of its inevitable sale.
So, do you play any video games these days, or are you too busy?
Well, I just got off of 4 months away from home.
Right.
which was like 3 months of touring and a month of bumming around in, on the West Coast. And so I haven't been in front of my real, in front of my desktop for a long ass time. So I got home 2 days ago and I have played, let's see, what is Steam going to tell me here? I have played 20 hours of Saints Row 4 since I got home.
That's an easy one to just dive into and just continue where you left off.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's not a fantastic video game, but it is funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got a good sense of humor. And it's grown dear to me over the years. I played the shit out of, 3. Mm-hmm. What else do I have installed on Steam right now? Let's see. Alien Isolation, which I played 82 minutes of on Monday, apparently.
So you almost have seen an alien at this point.
I've seen no aliens. That's why I stopped.
Pretty soon you'll just see it's just a nonstop alien behind you. It gets really terrifying, but it's a long time till that thing pops out. But then when it pops out, it never goes away.
All right. I'll give it another try. Go on.
No, I was gonna say I love the 1970s aesthetic to the spaceship.
It is kind of cute.
Yeah.
But then it wears off. It's like, all right, you're using the same like 9 3D assets to build all these rooms over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It was cute that they looked like the first movie for a minute, and then now it just looks like another console game. Mm-hmm. All these games are console games, because it drives me nuts. I'm not like a big console gamer.
Oh yeah, have you? So you're a PC gamer then?
Like mainly, I have a bunch of Xbox 360 games, but those are getting pretty long in the tooth. Right. I only ever buy consoles to play Grand Theft Auto iterations on them. That's why I bought a PlayStation 2. That's why I bought a Nintendo DS. That's why I bought a 360. Always to play the new Grand Theft Auto game.
Really?
Got a problem, I guess.
Can't wait until they get released on PC. But
oh,
they
God, that takes like a year.
Yeah, it does. It does. It takes a long time.
No, I cannot wait until they come out on PC.
Yeah, when the Xbox One came out, I decided to just stop playing console games and built my own Steam box for video gaming. So
that's what you're doing now?
Yeah, yep, just purely just Steam. And you know what? What the sad part is, though, is you design your new computer, you get all the components, you get really excited, you put it together, you set up your projector and sound system, you get all your video games installed, and then you start to play them, and you miss putting it together. You know what I mean? Like, playing the video games isn't as fun as it was to build the computer to play the video games.
Oh, I am not there with you.
Oh.
Building PCs, as many times as I've done it, and as slightly better they get at, like, making the pieces not suck over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like motherboards used to be such nightmares. And now they're like relatively well labeled, sensible objects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just always something that doesn't work quite how I want it to, and I spend days.
Yeah, where does error that
checking and troubleshooting it? Mm-hmm. And it's and I'm never, ever, ever convinced that I built it perfectly. Like never, never. There's some fan voltage.
Yes, that's.
That
I was
I'm
gonna
not
say.
Sure. There's some BIOS setting about how to cache something for the SSD that I'll just never know whether I've got it right or not. It gives me annoyance and anxiety.
Oh, man.
Building boxes. Yeah. I like building boxes for other people. It gives me a great sense of accomplishment, and I don't care how they work, so it's great.
Right. You get Perfect. Them basically working, and they're not going to know the difference.
They'll never know whether their SSD is optimized or just plenty fast. They'll never know. They don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I also have installed in my Steam at the moment Burnout Paradise, which is an old racing game that is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I crack it open every once in a while and get a little closer to like 100% of everything. The Cave.
Sure.
Which I think was a double fine.
Yeah, it's like kids running around and...
Yeah, it's like right on the verge of being cash, but it's not. It's like a proper platformer, and it's really fun
mm-hmm.
and funny and looking. Like, all of their stuff is great looking. Far Cry 3 I still have installed. That needs a little update. There's a new integer version number of Far Cry in the world.
Did you play the Blood Dragon?
No, I watched YouTube videos of it and I thought it was cute and I didn't care whether I played it or not.
Sure.
Gunpoint I have installed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Gunpoint?
I do, with the noir little trench coat guy and you.
Little trench coat guy jumping around on buildings.
Yep.
Yeah. And hacking.
Yep.
It's the game that Watch Dogs should have been.
Right.
And I have Watch Dogs installed. Let's see, Tomb Raider, which I got in a Humble Bundle, I think, or maybe a Steam sale. I don't know.
Right, that game was like $1.99 6 months after its release, even though it's a great game. It was just
everyone said it was terrible, and I'm finding it not that terrible, but very like modern console-y.
Yes.
Original Tomb Raider, I adored, like the and Tomb Raider 2, like the scale, the sense of scale in there, like you really felt you were in humongous maps that were so big that in fact like they did just go on forever and you couldn't get to all the places because you were this little human. But if you could figure out how to scramble and jump in exactly the right places, you could get to the top of that thing jutting out of that cave like way over there and then solve the puzzle.
Right.
And that was amazing, and it's like just really the opposite of the sort of railsy modern.
Yeah, that one was your eyes would sharpen to just see those straight lines that represented ledges to grab onto.
Yes.
In the background, and when the T-Rex came running around and the speakers were like dunk 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 in the jungle valley in that first Tomb Raider, that was glorious.
Yeah.
I probably spent too much time trying to like get her to dive properly. You know.
that was a tough combo, as I recall.
Yeah.
And you could screw it up and she'd break her neck. Oh, yeah. And every time you broke Lara's neck, you felt so shitty about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you did.
Got really invested. Let's see. I got Civ 5 installed. Now that is a proper PC game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no console equivalent of like a Civ game.
No.
And have you played the new Space Civ, whatever it's called?
I haven't.
I heard it was really cool, but those things are so expensive. I want it, but I don't know. It's not just expensive in money. It's like expensive in like time. It's like part of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. When you buy one of those Civilization games, you're thinking, okay, I don't have anything to do for the next 3 months. I can power through this. But when is that true anymore?
Yeah. Well, it's true sometimes if you're a rapper, but. I kind of don't want to like fall into a, you know, 6 month play video games, drink booze, don't make any records hole.
Sure. Because
the last time I did that, it was hard to get out of it. And this last record took me 3 years instead of the usual 18 months. And I don't want that to happen again. Let's see, I've got Papers, Please installed.
Oh yeah, that's dystopian and good.
That is a fantastic little piece of art.
Did you play Faster Than Light? It's kind of...
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I was just talking to my friend about this last night. That's an RPG, yeah? An RTS. It's a big RTS.
It's kind of it's an 8-bit looking Star Trek simulator, but you're in a spaceship and you have a crew and you have different like shields and weapons and energy, and you just basically fly around the map, fight other people, and it's super hard, and fires can break out and you can vent the atmosphere through the ship to put out the fires and suck your crew members out. It's it's pretty good, but I guess I'm doing a terrible job explaining it.
It's not an RTS. You've got one ship.
You've got one ship. That's right.
Ship management.
Yeah, yeah. It's a ship management. It's like a resource management game.
Interesting.
Yeah, I put it off for a long time. Everyone told me it was fantastic. I put it off until one night, you're just sitting in front of there and you're just, well, I'll give it a try. And it is. It's so addicting. Once you get the hang of it, it's so fun. So I do recommend Faster Than Light.
Take a look. Yeah. Oh, I've got Little Inferno installed. Got Insurgency installed, but I haven't played that yet. Half-Life 2, for some reason, is installed at the moment. None of the other ones are.
Not Episode 1 and Episode 2?
Those are not currently installed. I've certainly played them.
Right.
I don't know why I installed Half-Life 2 right there.
Do you ever sit there and just install games thinking, oh, I'm going to play this, and then you never even start it up with Steam?
That's pretty rare.
Oh, yeah.
For me. Yeah, usually I play it, I install it because I'm going to play it, and I play the dick out of it, and then I uninstall it. I mean, there's like, I don't know, there's like 80 games in my Steam account.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy with the Steam sales, it's easy to amass games, right?
And yeah, then, oh, and the Humble Bundle.
Yeah, the Humble Bundles. Oh, those are nice. The ones that have Steam. And then, but the only time I'm upset about the Humble Bundles is when I'll buy something like, oh, the Mass Effect collection. And then the third one doesn't have a Steam key because it's Origin only or something. That's always mildly frustrating, but really, what a... I guess I'm talking to you about it, so I can say first world problem, but...
I've got an Origin account. I got it because a buddy of mine at EA gave me a copy of SimCity when it came out. So I completely avoided that feeling of like being mad at SimCity for not working. I was like, this is great.
Works perfect.
This works as better than many free games that I have. And I was like a big SimCity fan from like actually through every version of it except for Societies or whatever that weird non-SimCity one was. Yeah, I love SimCity games. And I even like the new one that everyone kind of, I don't know, seems to be mad about.
Right, everyone just kind of hates it on principle.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's, again, resource management of, but of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of false people.
Oh, yeah. But let's hope it's not some kind of Tron universe.
Yeah. Oh, it's Ender's Game. Yeah. Little did we all know.
Yeah.
SimCity is a terrible, real place.
Yep.
Being controlled by...
Harrison Ford's out there yelling at some kid right now in your SimCity universe.
That's right.
All right, we reach a time in the show where I usually like to do the Vorpal Chainsword Quiz Blast, which is where I just have 7 questions that you just answer as best as you can.
Okay.
And then there's a timer and everything, so we'll just
do
go. All right. So, number one, which Teenage Mutant Turtle do you most identify with?
Oh, Donatello.
Number two, who's the better Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox, Jason Bateman, or that Twilight-looking guy from the new one?
I think that actor's name is Abs McGee. Well, I'm going to go with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Which would be cooler, Captain America in Iron Man armor or Batman with a Green Lantern ring?
Jeez. Oh, God. That's a really, like, philosophical question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the first because the color palette would not be so garish.
Which Wonder Twin would you save if both were in danger, Xan or Jaina?
What about Gleek?
I knew you'd bring up Gleek. And Gleek is not on the menu here. Gleek is terrible.
If they're identical Wonder Twins, it doesn't matter. But they're not. They're obviously fraternal Wonder Twins. Mm-hmm. Xan, I guess.
All right. What character...
Wait. Oh. Xan makes the ice bucket?
Yes!
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Jaina.
Good.
Jaina.
That's the right answer. All right. Yeah. What character class is your favorite in Dungeons & Dragons?
What did I always like? Rogues?
Rogues? Thieves?
Was Thief or Rogue the name of the class in AD&D?
When you were in junior high, Thief was the name of the class.
Thief was the name of the class?
Rogue is a third edition on Prospect.
All right.
Of D&D. So Thief.
Thief.
All right. Do you prefer sword and sorcery movies or cyberpunk movies?
You know, they're both usually terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like, if you take all of them that have ever been made, it's like real tough to pull the good ones out. But let's assume that I'm only pulling from the pool of ones that are good from both trashy genre film genres. And at that point, I would go with cyberpunk.
Ah, yes. All right. And number 7, was it the ultimate first world problem to have Weird Al Yankovic release a song with the same name as your song?
No, technically. I think anything that just, No. It was not the ultimate first world problem.
Yes.
Ultimate first world problem is having trouble scheduling your root canal.
Wow. Well, thank you for... It looks like you got actually 6 out of 7 right. So,
oh,
congratulations.
Nice. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What'd I get wrong, Batman with Green Lantern ring?
Yes. I feel like I dropped some hints there earlier yeah. in the podcast.
I could have played more aggressively.
Yeah.
Could have played more for points.
Sure. So. So I have to ask you, is do you have any projects or interests that you're working on or that you don't think are getting enough, don't have a larger audience, that you wish had a larger audience?
Well, you know, all my old videos have hundreds of thousands of views on them, and my brand new videos from Question Bedtime have, I think they're all just in the teens of thousands of views. I kind of wish everyone on Earth would click on those once and see if they, see if my new record's up their alley or not.
Right, because there's a Shudder and Gold Locks.
Shudders and Gold Locks both out. There's two more coming, one for Mornings Come and Go and one for Start Over, which I just filmed in Portland last week.
Oh, cool.
And those are going to be awesome also, and I will be very sad if nobody watches them. I want everyone to watch my new videos.
Sure.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
That makes sense. And I recommend them because I've watched them and I like them, and I will link to them for sure. But awesome. So, well, I want to thank you for coming on the Vorpal Chainsword podcast.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And I hope you enjoy your Steam games a little more now that you're back home.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play any more tonight.
No.
I might play some more.
It's going to be Saints Row 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.